Well, good morning. This is Barry O'Dell with the Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring Facebook page. It is Wednesday morning, August 30th, 2023. Hope everybody's doing all right today. I'm trying something a little different, so I want you to let me know. Sheila, good morning. Good to see you. Those of you who are watching, do me a favor. So I'm streaming. When I do my live stream, I use a streaming service called OBS, and it just records the video. You have the video here live, and then I upload that video content to our YouTube channel. But I also have a podcast that I do, and of course, there's no video that with that. It's just straight audio. It's through Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So today, I am streaming through OBS, but I'm also recording on my computer with a recording program. So I want to make sure the sound is okay. I think it's normal. I didn't know if there would be some kind of feedback loop where two programs would be, well, essentially running into each other. And so just, if you wouldn't mind in the comment, let me know, make sure everything sounds okay. I think it's going to work, but I had actually somebody send me a message the other day saying that they would listen more if it was a podcast as opposed to a 30-minute video, and I understand that. A podcast, you can, like, if you're walking around with your phone, you don't have to have the screen on. You can have your phone, I don't know what you call it, resting. but you can be listening in the background to the audio. So, okay, so it sounds the same as always. Sounds great. Thanks, Sheila. Thank you, Lyle, Gail. Good to see you guys. All right, well, good. So starting today, and I got that message recently. Starting today, that's what I'll be doing. I'll be streaming through OBS, but then I'll be recording and then uploading just the audio to my Podbean channel. So, all right, there we go. Anna, good to see you. All right, we are going to start. We're going to introduce the book of Jonah today. Don't know how long this particular study is going to take to introduce it, but hey, Brian, good to see you. Book of Jonah is interesting because, you know, biblical students are familiar with it. It's fairly short. It's only four chapters, only 48 verses. It's a prophet of God. Now, just looking at the book, all right, so I'm going to start reading here in Jonah chapter 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. All right. Hey, Connie, good morning. And good morning, Michelle. So Jonah's one of these prophets who does not date himself. But there is a reference to him. I'm turning back to 2 Kings chapter 14 because there's another section of Scripture that actually dates the work of Jonah for us. 2 Kings 14, beginning in verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who is from Gath-Hepher. So the book is actually dated for us approximately the same time as Isaiah, Micah, Amos, all these other prophets that we've been talking about. It's during the reign of Jeroboam II, so this would predate the Assyrian captivity of Israel, which occurred in 721-722 BC. The interesting thing in particular with the book of Jonah is that people try to allegorize this book. All right, in other words, like I said, if you're familiar with it, you know the story. Jonah's commissioned to go to Nineveh. He goes in the opposite direction, and by the way, it's about 1900 miles from Israel to Tarshish, which is in southern Spain today, is what we would know it as. 1900 approximately nautical miles west. Nineveh is about 500 or so miles east of Israel. So he goes, not only does Jonah go in the wrong direction, but he goes way far away, or he heads way far away in the wrong direction. And of course, in the account, as you read chapter 1, there's a great storm, he's cast overboard, and he's swallowed by a great fish. So people cannot reconcile, okay? They can't, how would you say it? Not justify, but it doesn't make sense to them. This has to be an allegory. There's no fish that can do this. There's no man that can survive in the belly of a fish, etc. So what people have done is just allegorize it. They've turned it into a kind of a fable, kind of a once upon a time fairy tale idea. But, you know, this kind of thing is done with other parts of the Bible. People try to do this with the earliest chapters of Genesis. Even some who claim to be Christian will try to allegorize basically the first 11 chapters of Genesis, because surely God didn't create the world in 6 days. Surely the earth is not as young as young earth scientists say it is. It's got to be billions of years old. And the flood, you know, the flood, surely there wasn't a universal flood. So people try to allegorize the first 11 chapters of Genesis. When you do that, you run into the same problem that you run into with allegorizing the book of Jonah, because there are references throughout the rest of the Bible that refer to, let's say, Genesis, the early chapters of Genesis, and speak of it in terms of actual historical events, historical beings, six-day creation. One of the strongest arguments for the literal six-day creation is God's law on the Sabbath to Israel. Read Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 sometime, and think about the creation. All right, Israel, 6 days, do your work and your labor, and rest on the seventh day. God's hallowed that day. It's the Sabbath. Because in 6 days, he created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. So people try to allegorize the creation account, because that just, I mean, science tells us, you know, the earth's been here for millions, possibly billions of years, and I just can't believe in young earth creationism. Well, the rest of the Bible is going to, if you try to be a Christian, if you try to hold to the inspiration of Scripture, the consistency, the historicity of Scripture and the events and the characters, you're going to run into all kinds of problems, okay? Same thing with the book of Jonah. So I've already cited 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 through 25. So we know, not from the book of Jonah itself, but from 2 Kings chapter 14, and by the way, what's mentioned there in 2 Kings chapter 14, Jonah doesn't write about that. All we have written here is his work with Nineveh and his call for their repentance. All right, so another passage I want us to look at to help us, actually there's two in the book of Matthew. I'm turning over to Matthew chapter 12. Obviously, this is within the life of Christ. Matthew 12 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.'" Now, he's already produced many signs. One more is not going to convince them. So that's not their goal, is not to be convinced of the truth. "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here.'" So that's Matthew 12, verses 38 through 41. And Jesus talks about not only the great fish incident, but also the preaching to Nineveh and the repentance of Nineveh. These are historical characters. These are historical events verified by the words of Jesus. Connie says they can if God wants them to live inside a fish. Yeah. Well, and that's an interesting thing that we'll note today by way of introduction to the book of Jonah, is the miracles that are present, that are recorded in this book. Matthew chapter 16. "The Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven." Literally, the phrase there, "show them a sign out of the heavens." All right, they wanted something magnificent out of the sky. "He answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.' And he left them and departed." So Matthew 12:38-41, Matthew 16:1-4. Of course, Luke also records what we looked at in Matthew chapter 12. I've got it written down here. Luke 11:29-32. So you've got the testimony of 2 Kings 14, and you've got two separate testimonies given by Jesus about the historicity of Jonah. The historicity, the veracity of the book of Jonah. He's a character. What I mean by that, a character. He's an individual who lived. He went to Nineveh. He preached. They repented. So, there you go. Sheila says, Jonah 1:17 says, God prepared a great fish. So I've never had an issue. I've never had issues that God created a fish. So of course he could survive. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. And that's kind of where I want to go next. So thanks for that comment. There are what you might call seven miracles in the book of Jonah. And the more I study this, this is kind of interesting to think about. I don't know if all of these are miracles. All right. So just bear with me here for a minute. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4. This is after Jonah has run away from God. He's gotten on the ship from Joppa heading to southern Spain. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. Well, that's not necessarily miraculous. No laws of nature have to be suspended. There's nothing transcendent of nature in regard to God creating a wind. So, yeah, I guess it could be miraculous, but it doesn't have to be. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 15, they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Now, to me, that's miraculous. That throwing somebody over a boat doesn't cause a storm to stop. But it did here because Jonah was the source of that storm. 1:17 that Sheila just referenced, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, it's a fact that there are sea-dwelling creatures that are big enough to swallow a man. There's no question about that. I mean, there are some, is it the blue whale? I forget which whale it is, but their heart is like the size of a Volkswagen bug. So, it's not an issue of the size. I think perhaps what people struggle with is, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Anyway, there are four other what are typically referred to as miracles in the book of Jonah. But we'll kind of deal with them as we go along here. Connie says, I hate when people say the earth is billions of years old. I did a count from Adam to Noah, and Noah died 2,006 years after the beginning of the creation. Yeah, there's some pretty interesting timelines that you can find based on like the genealogical tables. What is that? Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 10 that talks about the various generations and things like this. And I tell you another verse that hints in that direction would be Mark chapter 10 and verse 6, when Jesus is talking about divorce and remarriage, but, you know, answering the Pharisees' question, he says that from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Well, if the earth is billions of years old and man is only a couple of million years old, that's not the beginning of the creation. So you do have these people who are what we call theistic evolutionists. Okay, so they believe in God, but they also believe in the so-called, I call it false, science of Darwinian evolution. Jesus says from the beginning of creation, he made them male and female. So you're gonna have to address that issue. Anyway, Sheila says, I don't understand casting lots and the validity. We'll talk about that. That's an interesting occurrence that happens in the book of Jonah, but it also happens in other parts of the Bible. Connie says, and we don't know how big Jonah was. He may have been a small man. That is very true. So it's not just one thing. There are several things, I guess you could say, that play into that. But people do struggle. I think that primarily it's the miraculous. You know, we don't see miraculous today. The miraculous interventions, the signs that were given, do not occur today. There's no question about that. And in Scripture even prophesies of the end of the miraculous age. The ability to perform miracles was only passed on by the laying on of an apostle's hand. So many things contribute to that particular study. And people oftentimes just have an emotional attachment because, you know, something hard to believe happens. You know, somebody survives an accident. There's some kind of, I don't know, what. Think of common occurrence. Okay, maybe a woman struggling with a pregnancy and having a lot of medical issues, but then the baby's born and it's healthy. Well, that's a miracle. So there, it's like there's an emotional attachment to this idea of miracles without an understanding of what the Bible actually says about miracles and what they were. Signs, wonders, mighty deeds, the various ways the Bible addresses that. Anyway, back to the book of Jonah here. Nineveh at this time is, by all estimates that I've seen, probably the largest world in the city. Largest city in the world. It's a large city. There's no question about that. The book of Jonah tells us about the journey across it, probably a 3 days journey across. And we know the account. Again, Jonah just does not want to go. And his partiality towards Israel, let's say, shows up. And his response to God's graciousness towards Nineveh when they repented at his preaching, his response to that is quite astonishing. Going through preacher training school, our instructors talked to us, we went through the book of Jonah, and one of the things that was pointed out was, imagine being a preacher, you go to a city, and the entire city repents after a sermon, and the preacher gets mad about it. And essentially that's what happens with Nineveh's response at the end of Jonah chapter 3, and then his anger, and he even tells God, listen, I knew you'd do this. I knew that you were this and this, and I knew you would forgive them. And he's mad about their repentance. So anyway, Connie says, someone gets struck by lightning and lived. It's a miracle. Yeah. Yep. And again, there are a lot of misconceptions about the miraculous. And there really shouldn't be. The Bible is so clear on that particular subject. The types of miracles that were performed. Here's one. How about raising somebody from the dead? That's done in the Old Testament. It's done by Jesus. It's done by the apostles. We don't see that happening today. It doesn't happen today. But that was one of the miracles that was performed. I don't know if I would use the word commonly, but it was performed on several different occasions as we have recorded in Scripture. And here's another thing to think about the miraculous. I know we're kind of straying off from Jonah here. But you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. They're very similar accounts. There is some overlap. Each Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, has their own unique accounts of events that the others don't. But John is a totally unique Gospel account. John only records 7 miracles that Jesus performed. And John has a specific purpose. So you get to the end of his Gospel account, and John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe in the name of Jesus Christ. So miracles were performed to produce faith, but think about what John said there. Many other signs are written that many other signs were performed that are not written. And then you turn a page to John 21 and you read verse 25, and it talks about the fact that if all the books, and this is, I would say this is hyperbolic here, but it's exaggerating for the emphasis of, for the purpose of emphasis. If everything was written down that Jesus did, the whole world couldn't contain the books. Like I said, that's probably hyperbolic, but by no means do we have recorded everything that Jesus did, every miracle he performed, and even everything he said to his disciples. We know that to be the case. So that's just something interesting to think about. Connie says, I wondered what happened to Jonah in that city that made him hate them so. He had to be something really bad, I'd think. Yeah. And it's kind of some speculation as to his, and I've actually heard some people say this pretty much verbatim. Well, he was racist. Well, okay. I would say certainly he was prejudiced towards his own people, towards Israel, and didn't want the God of Israel forgiving this foreign nation. So I think there may be something to that. Sheila says, it bothers me that the book ends and we never know if Jonah ever got an attitude adjustment. Yeah, it's just, it does have a, what you might call a rather abrupt ending. But the point of the book, I think the main point of the book is, it's kind of like, what's the passage? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward all of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's, to me, that's the main thrust of the book of Jonah. Because as we've talked about, as we've been going through these minor prophets, all of your minor prophets, to some extent, and the major prophets too, primarily address Israel or Judah. And most of the prophets, to some extent, address foreign nations. Like we just finished Amos, and the first chapter, the whole first chapter and part of the second chapter are the various nations that surround Israel. Jonah is solely about Nineveh. That's what this book is about. And so, 2 Peter 3:9, I think of like 1 Timothy, what is it? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see that play out in the book of Jonah with the Ninevites. All right, what else do I have here by way of introduction? I don't really want to get into the text today because, well, we've already been going for 22 minutes and I don't really want to get into the text today. I just wanted to introduce the book. I don't think I have anything else to add, guys. I don't see any questions or comments. I wanted to get this introduced today. We are going to come back Monday. It's Wednesday, of course, so this is the last stream of this week. And like I said, I was kind of experimenting with OBS and with Audacity, my audio recording program here. Seems like everything's worked out okay, so this will be uploaded to the Fulton County Gospel News podcast. But I think that's it for today. I think we'll come back Monday. I tell you what, let's not come back Monday. Monday, what is it called? Labor Day, something like that. And we've got plans, so we're not going to have a live stream on Monday. We'll come back, Lord willing, on Tuesday and get back to the book of Jonah and probably get through with him Tuesday and Wednesday. There's not a lot to this book. There's, like I said, 4 chapters and 48 verses. But tonight, it's Wednesday. If you are at a place where there is no Wednesday night service or you are not able to get out for whatever reason, 7 p.m. Central, you can watch the Mammoth Spring live stream. And we're talking about Bible authority and how we come to our conclusions and things like that. Guys, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the interaction. And hope to see you back here Tuesday at 11 o'clock. So have a good day and hope you have a good weekend.